The worst thing for a preacher to lose is his voice. I have been well blessed down through the years and have had very little trouble. Had a little laryngitis earlier this last week, but not very much until this morning. I don't think it was the thought of coming back and seeing you that caused that. But I think when I get warmed up and get started, I'll be all right. If I run out completely, I start to say we'll sing some more, but John's got problems this morning. I have been thinking about taking the other half of the building over there and making a hospital out of it, as many sick folks as we have, and so we may have to do that. I am continuing this morning with a series of lessons on animals. I've covered most of the animals that we've talked about. I still have a few lessons left. This morning I want us to talk about the mule. You've probably heard that someone is as dumb as a mule. More than anything, I have heard the statement that someone is as stubborn as a mule. In Psalms 32 and verse 9, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee," King James Version says. And some of the versions say, "unless they go far from thee." In Proverbs, the 26th chapter and verse 3, "A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back." I think all of us understand that the human being is higher in God's creation than animals. God made the mineral kingdom, brought it into existence. He then made the plant kingdom, brought it into existence. And then he made the animal kingdom and brought it into existence. And the crowning proof of his entire creation was man. He gave man something that he did not give any other part of his creation. He breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Perhaps in that statement, living in the sense of animals. But there's another statement made in connection with the creation of man that makes all the difference in the world. And that is that he created man in the image of God. There is something about the human being that's different from all other parts of God's creation. There is the indication in John 4 that God made us so that we could worship him, stating that he seeketh man to worship him. And yet sometimes we do not act as though we are above the animals. I heard a little story one time told about the conversation between the old mother sow and the little pigs. The farmer was going to the distillery and getting loads of whey and feeding the hogs. And supposedly in this story, the father pig had drunk so much of that whey that he became drunk and was staggering. And the old sow said to the little pigs, "I want you to get around on the other side of the barn. I don't want you to see your father acting like humans." And you know, there's a lot of food for thought in that, because sometimes we act like animals. I believe there are some people today whose lifestyle is about like the animals. Now don't misunderstand me, we can learn some great lessons from animals. One of the greatest lessons is probably learned by noticing the motherly instinct that so many of the animals have toward their young. But sometimes we can have the traits of animals that are not good. And that's how it's mentioned in this passage. I had a lot of dealings with mules when I was growing up. I lived on a little hilly farm. All of our plowing was done by mules. Many a time have I hitched a mule to a plow, or in some instances, two mules to a plow, if it's a turning plow, and plowed on the farm. I came to know the habits of mules about as good as anyone, because I dealt with them, plowed with them, rode them. We never had horses, and so if I rode anything, it was a mule. And I think I can understand some of the things that are said in these passages here about mules and how we can be like them. Notice first in Psalm 32 that he says that the mule is without understanding. The mule will do what you tell him to. He will go where you guide him. But he doesn't seem to make any decisions for himself. He doesn't understand many of the things, maybe is taught by usage to where he has habits and develops those habits to where he doesn't step on the plants as he's plowing. But the mule doesn't have any understanding. We as people are like that sometimes. Matthew 13:15, Jesus said, "This people's heart is wax gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand in their hearts and be converted, and I should heal them." Paul to the Ephesians says in the first chapter in verse 19, or really verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints." In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, at verse 18, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Don't you think you know people like that, who are past understanding, who seem to be ignorant of many of the things that are around them, ignorant of what can happen if they're involved in certain actions? And over a period of time, get to the point that they're past feeling and may be involved in these sinful activities in a way that they don't care, do not have any conscience. Mule doesn't seem to have any conscience whatsoever. Very little understanding about what's happening around it. Basically does what it's told to do, goes where it's told to go, and makes no decisions on its own. We as people can be like the mule in that sense. And then I think there is the idea with the mule that it's an animal that has little or no self-control. If you turn the mule out by itself in a field where there are plants planted, the mule would go in every direction, have no control whatsoever. It's only when you put the harness on the mule, the bridle with the bit in its mouth, that you can control it and use its power and its ability to plow and to take care of the crop as you need to. In the book of James, particularly, the tongue is compared to the mule in the sense that the idea of the bridle and the bit are used. As he's talking about the difficulty of controlling the tongue, he says we put a bit in the horse's mouth or the mule's mouth, is the case we're talking today, so that we can turn it in each direction. And then he left the lesson that sometimes, maybe with all of us, we have to have a bit, as it were, in the mouth to control the tongue and to turn it in the directions that it needs to go. On this point of no self-control, I have found by experience that a mule doesn't have very much sense of danger. Horses, to some extent, have more than that. If there is a wild animal or something that comes near to the horse will usually react very suddenly. But a mule usually does not. Maybe even walk into a situation where there is danger. There's a rather interesting story back in the Old Testament when Absalom was killed. You probably remember the details that he was riding on a mule. And he went under a tree with a low limb. And his long hair was caught in the limb of the tree. And he was literally jerked from the mule and eventually died as a result of that. But if you'll look at that and study it, the indication is that the mule just kept going. After he was jerked off as his back, he just kept going. He had no interest in what was happening to the man. He had no concern about what was there. And there's also the idea that he went under this limb when it was so low that it caught the man. A man, if he had been looking, might have realized that that limb is too low. But a mule would never realize that. As long as he could clear it, and sometimes even if he couldn't clear it, he would run into it or run under it. He did not have the sense of danger that a human being has. Seems to me sometimes today that people act like that. They know the problems that exist. They know the results that can happen. You take drugs, for example, alcohol being the number one. People know what can happen and yet do not have self-control. Do not watch the circumstances. We are warned in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 to shun the very appearance of evil. If you were walking and saw something that was lower than the top of your head, you would want to shun it. If you were riding, as Absalom was on the mule, and saw the branch that was too low to clear, you would want to change your path. But sometimes as human beings, we act like the mule or the donkey. It is also indicated in 1 Kings 18:5 that there was a need for the human, the man, to find grass for the mule. In this particular case, the indication may be that the mule would not seek it out for itself, would not put forth the effort to find what it needed to feed, be fed. Sometimes we're like that too. And so we may be like the mule, as we've said, dumb as the mule, when it comes to the idea of no self-control. And I believe the one point that really stands out in how we are like the mule is that we are as stubborn as the old mule or the donkey. We have to have the bit to turn us in the right direction, indicated in that study with the tongue. Jesus said in Matthew 23:37 that he had tried to persuade people to come to him and they wouldn't listen. He said, "I would have received you as a hen receives her chickens, and you would not." Don't you think that there are a lot of people that live today, even in our own community, who know what the Bible teaches to become a Christian, but who've never done anything about that? I've even heard people make the statement, nobody is going to tell me that I have to be baptized to be saved. Or maybe some other subject is mentioned. And the person says, nobody is going to tell me. Nobody's going to make me do that. And I guess subconsciously all of us have a tendency to rebel against the idea of somebody making us do anything. There seems to be a degree of stubbornness in all of us. And there is a high degree of stubbornness in some of us. I have known a few people that if I wanted them to do a certain thing, I would suggest just the opposite. Because they were so stubborn in listening. Sometimes a child is like that. Stubborn and will not do what the parents ask it to do. And sometimes we do not outgrow that when we get into the older years. A mule is an animal that has to be encouraged to move. I have had experience with some mules that would stand there and seem to be determined that they were not going to move. And as indicated in the passage here in Proverbs, sometimes it takes a whip for the horse or for the donkey or for the mule. Have to have the right encouragement to get them to move forward. People are like that. When you think about the stubbornness that we have just discussed, you realize there are people who are difficult to move, difficult to get them to doing anything in the Lord's work. The story is told that someone came to an older preacher and said, the church building is burning. And he just stood there. The one that was reporting it said, aren't you going to run down there? He said, no, I've been preaching for this group for 30 years and that's the first fire that's been in that building in 30 years. Let it burn. I've had experiences with people like that. Some people who have talent that could be used in the Lord's kingdom, but they won't use it. Some people that would be able to help in many of the things that need to be done, but you can't move them to do the work that God needs them to do. The whip here is used in the sense of encouragement. And I suppose there is a way in which all of us need to be encouraged. We're told to encourage one another. We need to encourage some more than others. But all of us need to be encouraged to move on and to do what God wants us to do. If a person has a good mule, and I had the experience with some fine ones, a mule that has been trained and will yield to control, that animal is worth a great deal on a farm. Not many people use mules now. But there was a time when that was the main part of the farming efforts being done in the area where I grew up and I suppose where you did. If a person had a good team of mules, he was considered to be very well off. And in some cases, there were families that might very well have starved. Or at least been without the necessities of something to eat and other necessities. If it had not been for a farmer having a good team of mules that could be used in the right way. And in some instances, some of those mules that had been rather stubborn and not cooperative in doing the work on the farm could be changed and trained to be excellent animals in work. I saw that happen more than once. I saw my dad and others take mules that could not be controlled by other people. And and over a period of time trained them to where they could do the job that needed to be done in pulling the plow. And I think that's what we need to do as Christians in the work of the church. There's not a one of us but that can do better. Each one of us can learn. Each one of us can be trained. And if we will take the time to work with one another and to help each other, to teach each other so that there can be a better understanding, and to train ourselves so that we know when to move to the left and when to move to the right, it's amazing what we can do in the Lord's kingdom. Each one of us is important to the Lord's work. Each one of us can learn to do more in the Lord's work. And if you stop and think about it in this particular lesson, we have identified the problems associated with the mule as being a lack of understanding, a lack of control, and a bit of stubbornness. And those are three things that we need to work on in our own personal lives and help one another in the work of the church. We can deal with the lack of understanding if we have open minds through teaching the Word of God. There are a lot of things that I don't understand as completely as I should, and I think that's the case with each of you. But the more we teach the Bible and the more we study the Bible, the more we will understand what God's teaching is and what He wants us to know. And there will be fewer times that it can be said about us that we're like the mule with no understanding. And on that point of self-control, that's something that each of us can learn more and more. It's easy sometimes for one to lose his temper or without thinking to say things that should not be said or do things that should not be done. And God's word builds in the idea of controlling one another. We have laws of the land that allow those who are officers to control the situation. We have parents who have the ability and responsibility to control their children. In the church, we are given guidelines for controlling in the area of discipline. But folks, there's nothing that will take the place of self-control. If we allow ourselves to have to be controlled as the mule is, life is not going to be worth very much. But if we learn to have self-control, we can enjoy the benefits of the Christian. And we can help many other people at the same time. He said there are those that are like the horse or the mule. They don't have any understanding. There are those that are like the mule, especially with the tongue, that have to have a bit in the mouth so that another force, an outside force, can turn that one to the right or to the left. And he says there's the problem of us having a tendency to be stubborn like a mule. The lesson that I want us to get out of this is that we need to learn to inform ourselves and to come to an understanding of God's word on any subject. We need to develop the desire to control our own thoughts, our own words, and our own actions. And we need to work on putting away that attitude of stubbornness. There's really no place for stubbornness in the work of the home or the church. And when there is stubbornness, it's going to cause problems. But if we can put away that lack of understanding, that lack of self-control, and that stubbornness, and quit acting like mules and start acting like humans, acting like we were created in the image of God, we can have better lives and we can influence others in the right way, in a greater way. I encourage you to stop and look at your own life today. We have a tendency to look at others more than we look at ourselves. God's word points out that it is much easier for us to see what's happening in the life of somebody else than to see what's happening in one's own personal life. That is true when we're talking about problems. I can see your problems, you can see my problems easier than we can see our own. But I think that's also true when it comes to positive things. I think that we need to learn to see the positive in others, but we need to learn to see positive things in our own lives. Many people are suffering today with an inferiority complex or with an attitude of depression. Maybe for several reasons, but I'm convinced one that's included is that we fail to recognize our own good points, our own strong points, and our own abilities. You may have a mule that has the ability to pull more than any other mule in the barnyard or any other mule in the country, and yet that mule doesn't really stop to think and doesn't have the ability to stop and think about what he's able to do. We certainly do not want to become egotistical. We do not want to get to the point that we brag about ourselves. But it is important for us to understand that we are not animals, that we are humans, and that we have abilities, and that we can do a great deal in the Lord's service. One of the key verses in the Bible is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I wish we could get people to quit saying, I can't help it. I can't do anything about it. It's beyond my control. Some things are beyond your control. But most things you in life you can control, you can do something about it, and you can help it with God's help. And do the right thing and live the Christian life. Let us learn lessons from the animals. If there are good lessons, let's learn them, like go to the ant, consider her ways and be wise. But if there are bad traits, like we've studied today with the mule, let's learn those and avoid them. And try to act like God wants us to act all the time. If you're not a Christian and need to be baptized into Christ, or if you're a child of God who needs to come asking for prayers, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.
When Jesus comes to reward him.